In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? Jesus spoke in parables to illustrate a reality that cannot be expressed in mere human language. The kingdom of God is present as it is among us. And as much as we speak about it and pray about it, it's an elusive reality when our human hearts and minds are bent toward temporal and earthly things. Jesus told the truth about God's kingdom, God's dream, through illustration and through parable. Jesus' inclination for the use of parables may seem to suggest that this way of speaking would by means be a way that we make sense of things, as a way to be in the world, to operate in our lives within the world. Now, parables don't only offer us a lens through which to view certain concepts of faith or a means toward glimpsing God's activity in the world. The presence of parables rather points to a more basic reality of life, which we don't often consider, that there are aspects about our lives, God included in our lives, that only make sense in parables. We might even say parables are necessary for making sense of life. Through parable, Jesus tells the truth about God's kingdom. A parable is not a cryptic message to be decoded into a singular answer. If anything, parables beg more questions than answers. Today, Jesus asks a question. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It's as if Jesus is asking us, what parable would you use to describe it? In this morning's collect, we pray to God that through his grace, we may proclaim his truth with boldness. Through the use of parable, Jesus tells the truth about God's kingdom. And we all come together as a gathered faith community with our own truths, don't we? Through our own personal experiences, our childhood, our adolescence, our young adulthood, our career, marriage, family, and all of varied life circumstances that we have each experienced, they all affect our own version of truth for our own life, how we see the world, even how we live into our faith, are all tied to those experiences. But God's truth is the truth we seek. God's kingdom is the reality we seek. And God's reality is capital T truth. And it is the truth that we come to get glimpses of so that our lives will be transformed to be more like Jesus's. We all have our own truth. And sometimes we even create our own truth. Like this story that I'll share with you about a boy named Jake. One sunny afternoon, Jake's mother asked, Jake, what happened to the peanut butter cookies? I just took them out of the oven an hour ago, and now they're all gone. Mom, it was horrible. I tried to help, but I was afraid the tiger would eat me too. His mom tapped her foot. A tiger? What tiger, Jake? Well, Mom, I was sitting at the table doing my homework, seeking his mother's approval, looking at his mother to say, hey, I'm doing the right thing, be proud of me, while I'm sitting at the table in the kitchen. Then I heard this growling noise. I looked in the kitchen and there was this huge tiger with sharp teeth that were 6 inches long. He was looking at the peanut butter cookies on the counter. I tried to stop him, Mom, and I shouted, go away! But he ignored me. The next thing I knew, he jumped onto the counter and ate all your cookies. When he finished, he licked his chops and ran out to the back door. It was scary, Mom. I thought he was going to eat me too. Oh, I see, said Jake's mom. A huge tiger with long, sharp teeth ate all the cookies, did he? Are you sure about that? Are you sure that it wasn't you who ate them, Jake? No, Mom, it wasn't me. It was the tiger. Jake, you shouldn't tell stories like that, his mom replied, and she left the room. Jake rubbed his tummy. He had eaten too many cookies, and he wasn't feeling very well. So he went outside and played on the swings in the backyard, but since he didn't feel well, he got frustrated. He took a hold of the swing and he threw it, and it wound up around the top bar of the swing set. So his mom wanted to go out and see what the fuss was about. She goes in the backyard and says, "Jake, what happened to the swing? How did it get wrapped around the top pole like that?" she asked. Jake looked at her and said, "Mom, you're not going to believe this. You see, there was this gorilla." Now, this is not Jake's reality, but interactions with tigers and gorillas for this little boy would be a very exciting reality, wouldn't it? But they're based on his experiences and his way of navigating through life at that young age. And we all share our own realities and our own truths based on our own life experiences. And this holds true for congregations as well. Those who study church life and statistics regularly regard congregations as living organisms that ebb and flow, grow and decline, and as they respond to outward and inward experiences throughout their life cycle. For this reason, we come together as a community of faith every several years and prayerfully discern where God's Spirit is calling us. Yesterday, 37 of your fellow parishioners spent 3 hours in Latham Hall discerning where God's Spirit is leading us as a congregation. This work to discern a vision for what kind of church we are to become over the next 5 years is exciting, very worthwhile, and holy. We engaged in holy work. Holy means set apart, especially for God's purposes. This church is a holy place. It's been set apart for God's purposes. You are a holy person. Each one of you, a holy person, set apart for God's purposes. That's what baptism does. The vision work that we did yesterday was holy. That work was set apart for God's purposes. Now, would you like to know what we talked about yesterday? Would you like to know a little bit about what we came up with? You can nod yes. Good. It lets me know you're awake. Good. So some of the areas of holy work that God is calling St. Christopher's Church to engage in are some really interesting areas. One is outreach and service. Actually, this one got the most energy. Your fellow church members felt a very strong calling to further engage in God's work for others. Serving at the resale shop or supporting homeless ministries are very important to us. Congregational involvement and commitment to serving all of God's people through fellowship and pastoral care were a part of this call to service in Christ. Another area was stewardship. As a priest serving in this congregation and in this diocese, I've done a lot of work in this area of stewardship. And let me say for a moment what I would think about the topic on stewardship. I'd like for you to know what I mean when I say stewardship. When I think of stewardship, I think of the created order. God created everything, our lives, our world, the universe. It all belongs to God, and we were placed in the beauty and splendor of creation, and God gave us dominion to care for it. And when we realize that everything we have and experience is a gift from God, we then begin to live our lives as stewards. My practice of stewardship comes from this theological perspective regarding my possessions, my relationships, and even myself as God's gifts. The most tangible way that I can live by this theology and practice is to give proportionally of what I earn, returning it to God for the spread of His kingdom. As Christian stewards, we are all called to model a spiritual life of generosity, the giving of ourselves and of what we have. We are a congregation of stewards. We proved that yesterday. We may not be a wealthy congregation, but we are a generous one. Generous with our time and our energy, as well as with our financial resources. Another area that we discerned together yesterday was our desire for more spiritual formation. As a parish who offers Sunday morning education, Bible studies, book groups, multiple worship offerings, and service opportunities, I quickly thought of two possible reasons this topic came up. A topic that obviously we are doing a lot in, but we want more. The first thing I thought about was that we continue to be thirsty. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of thirst that the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world encourages us to hold on to. I'm talking about the kind of thirst that Jesus talks about. As in Revelation 22:17, Jesus says, "Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." May we always crave the water of life that Jesus offers. In the first psalm, the psalmist writes, "Happy are those who delight in the law of the Lord. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. And in all they do, they prosper." There are many topics in our holy discernment work yesterday that came to light, and all this information needs to be distilled and organized. But the Spirit spoke, and I believe we were receptive. By the way, I told you I was going to give you two reasons. One was that we're thirsty, and the other is that I think the folks that are involved in it would like to see more of you attending those opportunities for growth and education that we do here at St. Christopher's. The last area I'll bring up to you briefly is technology. There was a lot of interest in making sure that our technology is current. Facebook, Twitter, a dynamic and up-to-date website are some examples. For those of you with tablets, I've thought about incorporating a PDF that could be emailed to you, and we can use our phones and our iPads to follow along in the service rather than use paper, for those of you who that would be appealing to. So in sum, the areas of parish ministry that got the most attention yesterday were outreach and service, stewardship, spiritual formation, and technology. There's also a great desire to see our faith family become more diverse. Diversity is a word that we throw around a lot, but hopefully that diversity means all sorts of people from all sorts of places and walks of life and of life's philosophies and ways. Now, you may have noticed that youth and children did not come up on the list I just shared with you. At first, I was disappointed, and hopefully you are too, now that I brought that up to you. But there's a little silver lining here. I believe, and I spoke to Jill, our children's minister, about this, and she agreed that the Holy Spirit is leading here too with our children and youth. The most effective youth and children's ministry that we can ever engage in is one of inclusivity, as we make space for our kids in the life of the parish. It used to be that what the church would do is create a youth room, have a chapel, hire somebody to take the kids over to those places, and then we adults can continue our own comfortable lives and worship the way we want to, while the kids stay over there and they're fine with our hired help. Jill and I firmly believe that after doing this work yesterday, God is calling us to continue to make space for our youth to engage with us in outreach and service, stewardship, spiritual formation. I hesitate with technology because we all know that the kids are far better at technology than you and I ever will be. So they're already there. You might know Ariel Houtfield, 15, 16-year-old girl who works every Saturday at the resale shop. And during the summer, she's been there every day. She's living into that vision already. Tyler and Dylan Bunn, young men, have been over at the thrift shop working as well. Our youth usher and greet on third Sundays. And we have kids that are pledging for 2015. Our kids are already engaged in what this church wants to do and what it wants to get better at. And might I just mention that if you are an adult in this room and you are not pledging, I want you to know that you are being outdone by children. We have pledging children. So those of you who are here, who are under 18 years old, please know that you have not been left out. On the contrary, the Holy Spirit is telling us that you are very much part of the life of this parish. And we make space and room for you to live into the vision of this parish with us. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it?" Today, Mark's gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ reminds us that Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And when the grain is ripe, at once he goes and gets his sickle, because the harvest has come. Let us continue to tend God's beautiful and lush garden. He'll handle the outcome, not us. All we have to do is be faithful. What a load off our shoulders that is. Now, if we could end together with the collect of the day by taking out your green insert. The second collect that we prayed this morning. Let us pray together. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, and your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion, for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.